Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
John Day, a very, very good morning or good evening to you. Hope you're well.
Good morning, Howard. I'm well. Hope you are too. Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. Okay, so obviously the issue around the protection of democracy is probably one of the most important issues and concerns of any country. South Africa, we have the IEC. We watch very, very closely to see that our elections are free and fair, which is, of course, understandable in any democracy, but especially in a democracy that is new and where people have fought so hard to obtain the right to vote. But in the United States, there's been a very strange case, and I wanted to try and understand what this is about and what the controversy around this case is. So, John, if you could just give us a little bit of context here.
Yeah, so there's a thing that the Trump administration is pushing called the SAVE Act, which is supposed to address, in the eyes of the proponents, prevent any sort of non-citizen voting, any voter fraud, any situation where people who are not qualified to vote based on their citizenship prevent those people from voting. So the Trump administration is trying to push through Congress the SAVE, S-A-V-E, Act. And on the other side, the opponents are saying, look, you're trying to provide a solution for a problem that doesn't exist because we don't have, in their eyes, we don't have a voting fraud situation. We don't have a situation where people who are not citizens are voting. You know, there may be a handful here and there, but in the eyes of the opponents, it's a power grab, an aggregation of a lot of information, private information about citizens that's been gathered through the various government agencies like the Department of Homeland Security, Social Security Agency, tax records, and so on. So the proponents and the Trump administration are saying, we need this to protect our democracy. The opponents, including mainly the Democratic Party, are saying this is not a problem. And you haven't shown us any evidence that there is a voting fraud problem. So it hasn't passed, legislation hasn't passed yet, but Trump and his administration are trying very hard to get it through. And it's a fascinating issue because as a lawyer, I've tried to find any situation where there has been some sort of orchestrated or significant voter fraud. I mean, I like to see evidence as a lawyer and prosecutor.
So it's so interesting because there's definitely a narrative around this, because certainly there's always, not always, for the last number of years or elections, there's been this allegation of, I don't know, dead Democrats voting, and how many times have you voted? So certainly there's a perception of it. Are you saying that there's actually been no evidence showing that?
Well, that's the thing that I'm looking for. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind on this, but I want, and like I said, I've been a prosecutor, I still am a prosecutor. I want to see the evidence that says this is a problem that needs fixing. Now, for those, if you're historically minded, you can go back to the election of 1960 when John F. Kennedy beat Richard Nixon. And I think it's sort of well established and an accepted fact that Kennedy, for example, the Democrats apparently stole so many votes in the state of Illinois that put him over the top. And I think that's sort of been the, you know, whether that's the historical record or an old wives' tale. But the idea was back then, 1960, there was so much voter fraud, so much, you know, voter, either votes were being bought or ballot boxes were being stuffed. But that's how he won the election. At least that's the story that's been passed down. So is there voter fraud? Has there been in the past? You can't argue that there hasn't been. But in the recent elections, I guess that's where I want to see what they're basing that on. If there is something that says this is a problem that needs fixing, yes, of course, do it. On the other hand, what's the proponents are saying, what's the problem with making sure that people who...
That's the other side of it is... Yeah. Is if there isn't, you know, what's the big deal just to be safe? John, can you just take us through the process of voting in the United States. So here in South Africa, we've got local government elections also coming up around about November. Already now, parties are saying, please make sure you've registered to vote because you need to vote in the area at that spot thing. And you can go online with your ID document number, check that you're registered. When you go to vote, you've got to bring your ID document with you, your ID card with you, and it gets marked off that voter's register, and then they mark your thumb just with ink that takes weeks to come off, just so you can't try and do it, go vote somewhere else. And I think that it's relatively secure, even though it's quite cumbersome in a way. What happens in the United States?
It's similar. It's similar, Howard. What we have, we have the situation where the states run their own elections. There's not a federal election system. The states decide the rules. Generally, they're pretty similar. For example, when I voted a couple weeks ago, when we had elections here in New Mexico, what you do is you go in, and at least in my state, you are asked by a election worker for your name and your address. And they try to confirm that your address is the one that's listed on the registration documents. You don't have to present an ID. You don't have to present any documentation.
That's interesting.
But you have to have registered, and they check the registration, the address and so on against the information that you give them. So different states have different procedures, and it's something that generally works. But I get back to saying I'm happy to believe that if there is some type of voter fraud, that it ought to be addressed through a centralized system. I just need to see the evidence of that. But again, the proponents of this say, well, what is the problem with having a generalized database of people who are allowed to vote? Wouldn't it make it more, wouldn't it make it simpler? Wouldn't it streamline it? And those are some good arguments, of course. But again, I like to see the evidence. It's just my training and my nature. Mm.
Is there a reason that you don't need to present ID? It would seem the most obvious thing in the world.
Right. And that is one of the issues. And I think that's an issue that underlies a lot of this push for some type of centralized system, because what is to prevent you from, for example, identifying yourself as somebody else, going in there, using that information? That's where the problems lie, in the fact that you don't have to, and it depends on the jurisdiction, of course, but there are plenty of places where you don't have to present anything other than your face and the knowledge of your address. So it's an interesting issue. There's also one of the issues that's concerning people is the sort of privacy issue, because what's happening is that this act would aggregate a bunch of personal information. So if you are concerned about your government having lots of information about you, there are plenty of people who think this is over the line.
What is likely to happen?
Well, it's going to come down to how much can Trump get this through Congress, get it through the Senate? Can he get it into a place where the Senate is going to pass it? There's been this sort of rebellion of Republican senators against Trump. They're reacting to a lot of different things. So I think it's becoming somewhat more difficult for him. He doesn't wield the same power in the Senate that he did even a couple of months ago for a variety of reasons. But it's going to be a test of his what power he has. And again, the people who are supporting this are saying, look, we're just trying to make sure that voting is fair, free, and without any sort of fraud. And, on that level, you can't argue against that, because who wants to say, no,
I believe in a non-free. Yeah.
Right. So that's where we are.
John Day, thank you. As always, wait, before I let you go. No. I realize. Before I let you go, are you going to, are any of the World Cup matches happening anywhere near where you are?
I've been watching. This is fantastic. And Howard, it's fantastic to see all these people from all these countries and these cities in America that, Kansas City and San Francisco. I mean, people are coming places that they hadn't been before. And it's a really good thing for this country. I think people in the U.S. have been warm and welcoming, and they're happy to have this. And I'm really happy to see this now. I would love to go. I've just been watching it. on video. But
so it certainly sounds like it's been absolutely incredible. A friend of mine just came back from Boston, and he said that was just incredible.
I'll add one more thing. The Scots apparently took over Boston and have been welcomed, and there's this love affair between the Bostonians and the Scots, and I think that's fantastic.
Well, I have to tell you, so this, in fact, I fetched him from the airport last night. They came back, and he said his favorite nationality now, I mean, he went to the U.S., but it's the Scots. He was on a flight from London to Boston, and they were playing bagpipes and singing, and he said they ran out of alcohol, first on the plane and then at many of the pubs that they went to in Boston. He said certainly they are doing their bit for Scotland. John Day, thank you.
We need that.
Absolutely. Right.